Today is Jeremiah 29:4-7. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives from your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity to the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. The word of the Lord.
Well, as you've heard several times this morning, our mission here at Harbor is to help people find their way back to God. And that mission of helping people find their way back to God is exactly why we're starting a series today called For Our City, God, Politics, and the Church. Because we believe that living fully into our mission in the world is going to require us to think carefully about how we, as followers of Jesus, engage with the political systems of our world. Now, as we begin the series, I want to acknowledge a few things, a few elephants in the room. First of all, I want to acknowledge that I know for some of us, this is really uncomfortable. We've experienced the divisive and damaging nature of the political discourse in our country, and we don't want that here. We know we don't all agree on things here at Harbor, and rather than risk our loving unity, we'd rather just maybe not talk about it. In fact, when I asked you a few months ago what questions you all had about politics and God and the church, one of the most frequent questions I received was basically, do we have to talk about this? Do we have to? Wouldn't it be better to just like leave our political thoughts at the door and just focus on Jesus? I also want to acknowledge that there's a lot of fear in our country and in our world about the political future. Regardless of who we plan to vote for, many of us are feeling a level of anxiety about the future that we haven't felt maybe in our lifetime. And maybe we're afraid of that anxiety out there making its way into this, our safe space at church. I want you to know I hear those fears and I hear those anxieties. I do. I hear and I love your desire to preserve the loving community we have here at Harbor and to preserve this as a place where we experience God's peace. And I want you to hear my heart as your pastor that the worst thing we can do to preserve unity is to ignore the ways that we experience our world differently than each other. The worst thing we can do in order to experience the deep peace of God together is to pretend that we can leave at home, one of the biggest anxieties we're all carrying around with us. My heart in this season, Harbor, and I believe God's desire for us as a community, is that in the midst of one of the most divided times our country has experienced in recent history, in the midst of the division out there, that Harbor would experience one of the most united seasons in our church's 25-year history. What if this thing we're afraid will divide us is actually an opportunity to test the strength of our love for each other and find out that it holds? What if we experience that the Holy Spirit really is transforming our community into one that can disagree on absolutely everything but Jesus and still choose each other? What if? I believe that is exactly what God is up to in the church. That's exactly what the story of God has been about from the beginning of time. Now, before I jump into some reasons I think we need to talk about politics at church, I want to say one more thing. Listen, this fall, some of us are going to carefully weigh the options. We're going to pray about who we should support, and we're going to cast a vote for Donald Trump. Some of us this fall are going to carefully weigh our options, pray about who we should support, and cast a vote for Kamala Harris. And I want you to know that whoever you vote for, you are wanted and welcome at Harbor. You are welcome here if you vote for Trump. You are welcome here if you vote for Harris. Yeah. Thoughtful followers of Jesus are going to come to different conclusions this fall about who the best candidate is. We just are. And whoever you vote for, you are wanted and welcome at Harbor. But what I would ask as your pastor, what I would ask is, I would ask you to adopt a posture of curiosity towards your brothers and sisters here at Harbor who experience the world differently than you do. I would ask that you would adopt a posture of humility, that there just might be some things you don't see. I would ask that you would do your level best to view political things through the lens of God and his story, to start with what God says matters and move from there into political implications. And finally, I would ask that you would lead with love, that you would care about how the rest of your family here at Harbor experiences what's happening in our world, that you would continue to support and care for each other, no matter what the future brings. That's what I want to ask of you in this season. This morning, I want to unpack what we might call sort of a political theology for us, a framework for the way we, as followers of Jesus, as people of God, can begin to understand politics through the lens of God's plan, God's story. See, I actually think part of our problem is that we haven't actually spent enough time talking about how our faith, how our understanding of God's story intersects with our political landscape. Well, I mean, I've heard plenty of politicians suggesting that a vote for them is a vote for Jesus. I've definitely heard that. I've actually also heard plenty of pastors imply or flat out say that you can't be a Christian and vote Democrat. You can't be a Christian and vote Republican. But I'm not sure I've ever actually been to a church where we've talked about a theology of politics. Why politics matters to God. How God interacts with the political systems of our world. How that should impact what we do as Christians with politics. And that's part of the reason I think it's so important that we talk about it. Because I want us to be informed by Scripture. I want us to be informed by the history of God's interaction with people. I want us to be formed more by God and his story than by political leaders who are really just seeking power. So this morning, I want to suggest a basic summary of a theology of politics, sort of a working political theology for us that we can build some foundations on for this conversation over the next few weeks together. So here it is, a political theology for the church. God is bringing his kingdom, and he wants us to embody it by imitating Jesus. God is bringing his kingdom, and he wants us to embody it by imitating Jesus. So what this means is that on the one hand, God is driving history, okay? God is in control. God is on his throne. God's kingdom wins in the end, okay? We know the end of the story. The world will be remade as it was intended to be. Jesus will return, bringing heaven to earth. There will be no more tears. There will be no more death, no more pain. This is a promise we can take to the bank. So family, we don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be afraid. God is in control. Everything is going to be okay. Even if right now we can't imagine how that might be true. God is bringing his kingdom. And on the other hand, God wants our help. God wants our partnership. God wants us to be part of ushering in his kingdom. Our job, in fact, as people of God, as followers of Jesus, is to show the world like a working model of God's kingdom. And we do that by following Jesus' teachings, by forgiving, by being generous, by subverting injustice, by treating all people with the honor afforded to beings made in the image of God. God is bringing his kingdom, and he wants us to embody it by imitating Jesus. As we look at our scripture today, I want to talk about a few reasons why I think it's important for us as the church to talk about politics. Three reasons we're going to spend these next few weeks talking about how politics intersect with God's plan for the world. The first reason we need to talk about politics in the church is that God's story is political. God's story is political. Listen, in our reading today, the prophet Jeremiah is writing to people living within a particular political reality. They were exiles living in a foreign land. They had been taken far from home by the Babylonian army and were now living in Babylon. And this is what God says to them through Jeremiah. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Do you see it right there in the middle? I carried. God did it. God is the one who brought the people of Judah, Israel's southern kingdom, into exile. God is the one who raised up the Babylonian army to conquer and cart them off. God did it. In fact, earlier in the book of Jeremiah, the prophet has been warning the people of exactly this. He said, listen, if you don't shape up your society, if you don't shape up the way that you're treating each other, God is going to raise up Babylon and cart you off far from home. He told them. God had been warning the people of Judah about the way their society functioned. They didn't care for the poor. They stole from each other. They murdered. They lied. They took advantage of the least powerful people. And God would not allow that to continue forever because God cares about people. And because political systems impact people, God cares about them. Listen, God has always done his work in and through the political systems of our world. And that's not a bad thing. We've sort of come to think of politics as like a bad word. Like, oh, politics. But guys, politics, really, at its core, it's just how people work together toward a more just and flourishing society. That's how politics is. Can it be distorted? Heck yes. Are we seeing some really terrible distortions of what politics could and should do? Heck yes. But God cares about political systems. Because, see, God cares about society being just. God cares about people having what they need. God cares about people treating each other carefully as fellow image bearers. God cares about how the political systems in our world impact the lives of the people in it. God cares about politics. And God has chosen to work in and through the political systems of our world. So we should not be afraid to interact with politics. In fact, there's a theologian who's from Hong Kong, Kwok Pui Lan, and he says this. He says, Christianity can't even be understood apart from empire. We can't understand the Bible without knowing something about the struggles for survival of the Hebrew people under the Babylonian, Assyrian, Persian, Greek, and Roman empires. Christianity began in the Roman Empire, in which Jesus and the early disciples lived as colonized people. Jesus died on a cross, which was a symbol of state terrorism and a form of torture and punishment for political rebels. God deals with politics and political systems. Jesus engaged the political systems of his day. Jesus said that God was becoming king over the whole world. That in Jesus' life, his message, his death, his resurrection, God was inaugurating a new kingdom. This is political language. Jesus' message was that no empire on earth can match the kingdom of God. That God's plan is ultimately to reinstate his kingdom over and against every kingdom of this world. I love the way N.T. Wright, who's a British pastor, says this. He says, God's kingdom is not of this world, but God's kingdom is emphatically for this world. It's not of this world, but it is for this world. God loves this world. And so political systems matter to God. So we, as God's people, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we need to care about the political systems of the world too. Pretending politics doesn't matter isn't really an option for people who follow God's lead. Which leads us to the second reason we need to talk about politics. We need to talk about politics because God wants us to help him restore shalom. We need to talk about politics because God wants us to help restore shalom. God wants our participation in restoring the world to what he designed it to be. This is what God says in Jeremiah 29 to these people living in exile. He says, build houses, settle down, plant gardens, and eat what they produce. Marry, have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons, give your daughters in marriage that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, don't decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you will prosper. God has a plan for his people when they're living in a place that doesn't quite feel like home. He doesn't want them to waste the opportunity he's giving them to create little pockets of his kingdom right where they are. So he tells them, settle in. It's going to be a while. Have families, build homes, enjoy the good things that Babylon has to offer. And as you do that, God says, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've sent you. Again, God's reminding them that he's the one who brought them there, and he's inviting them into meaningful work while they wait. The word in that verse that's translated peace and prosperity in the NIV, it's the Hebrew word shalom. We've talked about this word a little bit before. Shalom is often translated simply as peace. But my goodness, is it more expansive than our English word peace. The word shalom really means wholeness, completeness, everything as it should be. That's shalom. And God is on a mission to restore shalom. And he wants us to be at work bringing shalom to our little corner of the world. He tells them they should seek after the shalom of their city. That word seek, it's a really strong verb. And in fact, in other verses in the Old Testament, that word is translated as require. Require the peace and prosperity of your city. Require shalom. He's saying he wants his people to work hard for the shalom of their city so that failure is not an option. To require shalom, to not rest until their city has shalom. And that's God's invitation to us, to actively seek, to work for the shalom of our little corner of the world. The church is meant to be a working model of the kingdom of God. We are meant to be a preview of God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And this work of bringing shalom, it's inevitably political because it is about how we live together, how we work together toward increasing justice and mercy. I love to, God doesn't prescribe any one way to go about seeking shalom. He says, you know, whatever you do, just make sure it's leading toward more shalom. The way you work towards shalom, wholeness, things as they should be, that's going to be different based on your experiences, your interests, your job, your family situation, where you live. But whatever you do, work toward shalom. Some of you are going to work towards shalom with young women who have unplanned pregnancies. Some of you are going to work towards shalom with the immigrant community. Some of you are going to work towards shalom with the unhoused. Some of you will work towards shalom with those with addiction or mental illness or with veterans. Some of you will work towards shalom by running for office. However you work towards shalom, God says, just do it. Harbor, being a Christian is not about just praying a prayer of some kind so that we go to heaven when we die. Being a Christian is about joining God in his work to bring heaven here. That's what Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done, where? On earth as it is in heaven. The life of the Christian community is about making space for this earth to look more like God's kingdom. So we necessarily will fight against prejudice and classism. we will necessarily work to rectify injustice, to oppose racism, to prioritize the needs of the poor, because this is what Jesus did. His entire message, his entire earthly ministry was about creating the kingdom of heaven on earth. And listen, by choosing each other in a diverse community where we come together from different ethnicities, different political parties, different socioeconomic classes, different genders, as we choose each other, well, we learn more about what it's like to inhabit the world in someone else's shoes. And as we see what life is like from different perspectives, this is what causes us to care about the issues that impact our world. Because to us, they're not issues. They're people that we love. And if we love people, then we are not going to easily give in to the division and partisanship we see in the world around us. We will fight for each other, even when we don't see the world the same way. So we need to talk about politics because politics matters to God. We need to talk about politics because God wants us to help restore shalom. And finally, we need to talk about politics, listen, so we can have a political ideology shaped by God's kingdom, not a distorted view of God's kingdom shaped by political ideology. Let me say that again. We need to talk about politics so that we can have a political ideology shaped by God's kingdom, not a distorted view of God's kingdom shaped by political ideology. Listen, in the book of Jeremiah, the people are looking for hope in a hopeless situation. They were in exile. They were far from home. They missed their friends and their family. They missed the smells and sights of home. They probably missed the food. I remember we moved here 3 years ago from Illinois. For the first few months, we did our grocery shopping at Walmart because I knew what brands I liked at Walmart. I didn't know Market Basket. When I got here, I remember feeling just disoriented by how different things were from Illinois. I missed our friends. I missed our house. I missed our old church. I missed the food. I still miss the pizza. You guys, listen, Chicago-style pizza, whether it is like the deep dish pizza casserole or the thin and crispy crust, it's just better than what you call pizza here. I'm sorry. I digress. I was missing home, so I was looking for something familiar, anything that felt hopeful and familiar. And the Israelites were probably feeling the same way. That's why they were easy targets for some false prophets. See, a couple chapters earlier, a few false prophets came along and they told the people, your exile is going to be short. It's just going to be a little while, a year or two, and then you'll go home. And to people desperate for hope, my goodness, was this welcome news. There was just one problem. That's not what God had said. That's why Jeremiah corrects this by telling them, no, you're going to be here for a while. You should settle down and build houses and get comfortable because it's going to be 70 years. 70 years. An entire generation will be born and die while you are in exile. He says, yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. Here's the deal. People who are desperate for hope will listen to anybody. I was listening to a podcast a couple weeks ago where they talked about how one of the reasons that Hitler was able to rise to power in Germany in the 1930s was in part that the German people were so desperate for hope. The economy was in ruins. People were literally starving. And Hitler confidently told them that the reason for all their problems was the Jewish people. And Hitler confidently told them he had a plan to restore their country to glory. People hungry for hope ate that up. Friends, we are in a time where people are hungry for hope. Hungry to make sense of what is happening around us. Hungry to make sense of rising prices and a world that is just rapidly changing. And it is a politician's job to make us believe that they know the reason for our problems and they can fix it. Harbor, I want to talk about politics in this safe space because I don't want you to fall for it. I don't want you to fall for it when you hear false prophets promise you things they can't deliver. I want to dig into what God's kingdom looks like so that you will know, you will recognize when someone in a position of power is championing something that is opposed to God's kingdom. I want you not to fall for it when a politician tells you that the problem in our country is a particular group of people. The Democrats, the Republicans, the immigrants, the Muslims, some other minority population. I don't want you to fall for it. Harbor, we are all being shaped by something to think about politics in a particular way. Whether it's by God's word or by our chosen media channels, we are being shaped to think about the world in a particular way. We are being shaped to think about other people in a particular way. And I want to beg you to be aware of what is shaping you. Pay attention. As we walk through this season of heightened political activity and awareness, I want to challenge you to consider what is shaping your mind. I want to ask you to think about if you are spending more time focusing on God's word or scrolling social media. Because I promise you, family, 1 hour together in worship on Sundays is no match for 6 days and 23 hours of Fox News or CNN or social media. It's just not. If most of your time is spent places like that, you are being more formed by them than you are by God's word. So I want to beg you to thoughtfully consider how you will engage during this season of political activity. Think through what's good and healthy for you. Make some choices about the limits of your screen time on these issues. Consider how much time you're going to spend just talking with God, reading his word, versus how much time you're going to spend listening to the talking political heads. And listen, I'm saying all this as someone on the journey with you, okay? I don't have this figured out either. I struggle with this too. Our apps are designed to keep us scrolling. If we want to be more formed by God than by social media or the news, we need to make some intentional choices. Harbor, we need to talk about politics. Because politics matters to God. Because God wants us to be a part of reshaping the social systems in order to bring shalom. And because we need to be consciously being formed by God and his word instead of politicians. Harbor, I love you. And I hope that you're going to stick with us as we talk about these things the next few weeks. And I hope you'll take some time to think about how you're going to guard your heart and your mind in this season. How you're going to guard your relationships in this season. Set some limits on screen time, fam, okay? Be intentional in your time with God. Maybe that's just start with intentionally 5 minutes a day of reading your Bible, sitting quietly with God. If you don't do that every day now, just start small. Listen, if we're not going to just survive these difficult and divided times, but thrive in them together as a church family, we need to choose intentionally to set our minds on God and his kingdom together. We need to choose to remember what is true together. We need to choose to work toward the peace of our city together. That's why we're doing things together, like volunteering at the Wish Project, like standing outside together, showing our city we are for them as those marathon runners run by, like throwing a giant party in our parking lot on October 27th, because we need to work together for the shalom of our city to maintain our unity as a body. As we choose these things, as we choose to work together, choose to focus together on God and his kingdom, we can have confidence, not even in our ability, but in God and his promises. A few verses later in Jeremiah 29 is this very famous, well-loved verse. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you." That's that word shalom again. Plans to shalom you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Harbor, God is bringing his kingdom. God will keep his promises. Even when the world around us is going crazy, even when it looks like evil is winning, even when we are afraid of the future, God is faithful. God has plans for shalom, for wholeness, completeness, everything as it should be. This is where we're heading, family. So you don't need to be afraid. God is bringing shalom, and he's invited us not to cower in a corner afraid, but to get to work, seeking the shalom of our city. He is inviting us to be for our city. This is our calling. Let's pray. God, thank you that your promises are true, that you are faithful. And thank you that for some crazy reason, you have invited us to be your partners in bringing your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. God, we need your help. We need your help not to be pulled apart by outside influences. We need your help not to be caught up in the promises that politicians give us. We need your help to stay focused on how we embody your kingdom here and now by imitating Jesus. We need your help. So help us to love each other. Help us to be humble towards each other. Help us to choose each other even when it's hard. Help this season, God, to be one of the most beautiful and united we've ever experienced. And then we'll know that it's only you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.